Hello and welcome to a very special edition of Heart of the Matter. This is a recording of the Christmas Carol service at Dundalk Baptist Church on the 11th of December 2016. We do hope that you enjoy this very special occasion.
Well, I want to give everyone a very special welcome to our carol service for 2016, and a very warm welcome, especially to our listeners on Dundalk FM, whether you're listening here in the town or via the internet, maybe from somewhere far, far away. We wish you and your families a very happy and a very blessed Christmas. Now, our first reading is going to be read by Michaela from Genesis chapter 2.
Genesis 2 verse 9. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the center of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2 verse 15 to 17. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it you shall surely die.
Thank you, Michaela. Now, you're going to notice, hopefully, that all of our readings have trees in them. And, of course, we think of Christmas, we think of the Christmas tree. That's a clue about what I'm going to talk about later on. Now, Sean's going to come and read for us Psalm 1.
Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of the water, that brings forth the fruit in its season, who shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteousness. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the ungodly shall perish.
Thank you, Sean. Let's stand for our first song. It's probably one of the most famous carols, if not the most famous carol of all time. It's the beautiful Silent Night. Reading Dennis is going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 21. This is a story about a tree, but it's not a very pleasant reading, but we're going to fit it in later on.
Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 22 to 23. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God.
Thank you, Dennis. Our next song is called Joy to the World, the Lord is Come. And each verse reminds us of the difference that Jesus has made by coming into the world. And as we sing the song, we ask ourselves, has he made that difference by having come into my life? Let's stand and sing together. To come and read from the New Testament from Galatians chapter 3.
Galatians 3:10-14. For as are many as are of the works of the law, are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are in the written in the books of the law, to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for that the just will live by faith, yet the law is not by faith, but the man who does not live shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we may receive the promises of the Spirit through faith.
All right, thank you, Victoria. Our next song reminds us of where Jesus was born. It's called The Little Town of Bethlehem. It's not just that it's a beautiful song to sing, but it reminds us that it's fulfillment of a promise that God made many hundreds of years before. So let's stand as we sing together Little Town of Bethlehem.
started off our first reading in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis 2, and its reference to trees. But the reference continues right to the very last book, the book of Revelation. And Joshua's going to read to us from Revelation chapter 22.
And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its streets. And on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face and his name, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
Thank you, Joshua. One of our treats every year is that the ladies, or a group of the ladies from the church, prepares a special for us, and they're going to come and sing it right now. We've been listening to the preparations over the past few weeks, and you're in for a treat. I'm going to get them to maybe introduce the song themselves, what it's called.
Okay, the song is called I Have Travelled Far, and it's about Mary. And Mary was very young when Jesus was born, so we have a very young lady singing the first part. And it talks about how she felt, because often we don't think about that. So how it impacted Mary herself.
Traveled many endless nights.
We're going to continue reading in Revelation 22, this time verses 12 to 16. And look again for the reference to the tree here. It begins with the words of the Lord Jesus, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are the dogs, sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever practices and loves a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star." A few days ago, we had a lot of excitement in Anagasson, the village in which we live. Usually there's not a lot of excitement in Anagasson. The last excitement was when the Vikings arrived about 800 AD. But our excitement this year was we had forever in the village our first Christmas tree. And there we were all gathered round it, waiting for the tree to light up. And of course, the inevitable happened. As soon as the tree lights up, one little kid says, "Look at the tree!" It started me thinking that if you went to the Bible and said, "Look at the tree," you'd have quite a lot of trees to look at. And all of them highly significant. And I hope that by the time I finish saying what I'm going to say this evening, you'll never be able to look at your Christmas tree quite the same again, because it'll hopefully remind you of the trees in the Bible. The Bible starts and closes with references to trees. Actually, the same tree, if you were paying attention. Don't worry if you weren't paying attention, I'll fill in the blanks for you. It starts off with a world that's perfect and beautiful beyond our ability to imagine. And at the center of this beautiful world is something called the Tree of Life. And it symbolizes the fact that God himself has designed people to have life. This morning we were looking at the words of Jesus where he said he had come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Indeed, that we would have eternal life, the same life that God himself has. Now, the Bible tells us that that life, that perfect life, did not last with mankind. And we'd only have to look around us today to know that that's not the way things are. Because you see, there was another tree there at the beginning of time, and it was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what it was basically saying was this, that we as human beings don't get to decide for ourselves what's good and evil. Now, let's be honest, we all do. And in fact, most people think that's the right way to go. If you ask them, well, how do you decide what's good, what's right, or what's wrong? They say, well, I just look within my own heart. But that's where the problem starts. Because God said that if Adam and Eve did that, they would be cut off from the other tree, the tree of life. And in fact, the first part of the Bible ends with an angel with a fiery sword blocking the way to the tree of life. The second reading, which Sean read to us, has another tree in it. But this time, the tree symbolizes what it's like for a person to live in a right relationship with God. The picture is a beautiful one. And it's a picture not yet of the perfection that we had in the beginning, but something very, very real and something very, very good. The person in Psalm 1 who is in right relationship with God is described as a tree planted beside streams of living water, who even in the drought puts forth fruit and leaves and doesn't perish. So as we go through the Bible, God uses, amongst other things, pictures of the trees to speak to us about the realities of life. The third reading, which Dennis read to us, was a very, very somber reading. It was the picture of an execution. It was the picture of somebody who deserved to die hanging on a tree. It's a picture we don't like to think of, but there it is in the Bible.
And there's that awful pronouncement made, cursed is anyone who is hanged or executed on a tree. But then the Bible brings us to another tree. In Galatians chapter 3, which Victoria read to us, the reading from Deuteronomy is referenced, cursed is anyone who is hanged on a tree. But now, amazingly, the person that's been spoken about is not a criminal hanging on a tree or on a cross, but Jesus himself. What in the world is happening here? Surely there must be some mix-up. Jesus, we've been singing about his birth, we've been singing about his life. He came into the world doing good for everybody. No one could find any fault with him. And yet here he is at the end of his life, hanging on the tree as though he were a criminal. Has there been a cosmic mix-up? Has God got it terribly wrong? We might be tempted to think so. But no, he hasn't. This, believe it or not, this tree, the cross on which Jesus is hanging and dying, is the heart of God's plan and purpose. In fact, as we'll see in a few moments, this is the way, the only way, back to that tree, the tree of life, from which we were cut off when we decided to do things our own way. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatians, puts it this way: Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We had broken God's law, all of us, me, you, everybody else, having become a curse for us. And then he references that passage in the Old Testament, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. The amazing thing is this, that God sent Jesus to live a perfect life, like the tree planted by the streams of living water. But he took that perfect life and exchanged it in God's plan freely and willingly, so that whoever would come and put their trust in him could have his death on the cross, his death as a punishment for sin, be the death and the punishment for their sin. For your sin and for my sin, if we're willing to come and acknowledge ourselves as we really are and trust ourselves to God in Jesus. The final readings that we looked at fast forwarded to the last book of the Bible. And here we see something amazing. We see pictured for us a wonderful future. And it's as though the whole of history is stretched out for us, beginning in the book of Genesis and ending in the book of Revelation. And like two bookends in a library, it starts perfect and it finishes perfect. Look what we see in the book of Revelation in 22. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And so you have the picture now of this paradise, this restored earth, our world as it was originally meant to be. And right there in the heart of it, you have the tree of life. You have life as a gift from God. Life not as we've messed it up, but life as it was meant to be. And the wonderful picture, and of course it's supernatural, it's fruit bearing each one of the months. And the picture here, of course, I think it's very easy to interpret, that as often as we need life, life is there for us. It's not just a once-off thing, that all we need all the time to sustain eternal life, life with God, and life as it was meant to be, it's freely there available to us. And the wonderful promise, there shall be no more curse. Remember, History starts with the curse coming because of disobedience. That awful pronouncement that was read from Deuteronomy, cursed is anyone who is executed on the tree. But now, when we come to the end of time, the Bible says there shall be no more curse. And the blessings that are promised for all those who put their trust in Jesus, for all those who accept Jesus for who he is and for why he came, and make him Lord and Savior in their lives, who say, Lord, your word says, we've been singing the carols, that you came to forgive your people, you came to give forgiveness and peace and life. They're all the things I need. I can't find them any other way, but you promise that if I come to you, I'll receive them from you. And the results in Revelation 22 are amazing and wonderful. They shall see his face. And it's a picture, isn't it, of complete fellowship restored with God. I'm sure you've often heard somebody say, if they had a row with somebody or a falling out, he couldn't look me in the face. In fact, one of the things we use, isn't it, to gauge there's a problem, he couldn't look me in the face. But here we see mankind and God looking each other in the face for all eternity. Because the thing that caused man to be afraid to look God in the face is gone. Sin has been forgiven. Life has been restored. And God can be looked at in the face. The question comes back then, and I suppose if we were listening to the readings, if we were listening to some of the words that we were singing in the carols, how can I have what God is talking about here? Well, we have to stand back, don't we, and look at the readings that we've been reading, listening to the songs that we have been singing. And the clues are there, hiding in plain sight for us. We have to admit that there's a problem. And not the problem in a general sense, but there's a problem not just between the other guy and God, but there's a problem between me and God. That my sins, the things that I have done wrong, the selfishness, the doing things my own way, the putting myself first, is not the way that it should be. Secondly, we have to admit that God is right when he says that these things are wrong and they must be punished. That's not easy to face up to. And yet the message of the Bible is quite clear that that is real. We all like to think, don't we, and the Bible is quite clear that God is perfect. But part of him being perfect is he can't pretend that right is wrong and wrong is right. And he certainly can't pretend that our sin doesn't matter. But the good news is that he hasn't done that. He has looked at our sin for what it is. And the wonder of Jesus coming into the world is that he has taken our guilt and Jesus has taken that upon himself. He hasn't swept it under the rug. He's carried it himself. And as the Apostle Peter put it so wonderfully, Christ died, the righteous in the place of the unrighteous, to bring us to God. That tree, that the cross standing up from the earth, is the reminder that sin is real, that God does punish it. But for those who turn to God, that punishment is taken by Jesus in our place. The story that begins in our celebration of Christmas, God becoming man, it's the beginning of the story. It's a wonderful beginning, but it's only the beginning. It brings us right through the whole story. For 33 years, he lives a perfect life. The life that I should have lived, the life that I can't live in my own strength. And he offers that up in my name to God. And then he concludes his life by dying on the cross in my name. And because he does all of that, the last reading, the reading with which the Bible itself closes, is true. The question is it going to be true for you and me in our experience? Let's look at it again. Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city." The wonderful message of the gospel, the good news, is that Jesus, by living the life that he lived, a perfect life, keeping God's commandments, all 10 of them, all the time, in every way, if I put my trust in him, then God accepts what he has done for me. That's why the gospel is good news. That's why all of these songs have that message of hope and blessing in them. As we come to the end of our carol service today, maybe you've had a Christmas where you've been wondering, what really is this all about? Is it simply more than just getting presents and giving presents? Is it more than simply decorating the house? And why in the world do we do it anyway? Well, the readings that we've been looking at tonight and the songs that we have been singing hopefully will remind you and me that yes, this is something worth celebrating. This is the most wonderful thing that has ever happened to the world. That God has come in the person of Jesus so that the world isn't left to the mess that we've made it, but that God is determined to make all things new, and that one day, by the power that he alone has, there will be a new heavens and a new earth in which everything will be perfect, in which there will be that tree of life giving life to all who live there. And the question is, will I be one of the ones who will be living there? The good news is that Jesus has done everything that's needed for you to be somebody who's living there. What you and I have to do is to come, ask him to forgive us, to come into our lives and to make us the people we cannot make ourselves, to open up for us the way back to that tree of life that's pictured at the beginning and the end of the Bible, to acknowledge that by his dying on that other tree on the cross, he has done for me what I could never do for myself, and that by simply trusting myself to him, trusting myself not as I should be, but as I really am, he will take me and forgive me and make me new. You know, the little kid had it right. Look at the tree. There's quite a few trees to look at, isn't there, in the Bible? There's the tree of life. There's the tree of death on which Jesus died. But that tree of death on which he died and on which I should have died, but he died in my place, is the way that opens up to me and you and anybody else who will trust in him, the ultimate way into the tree of life that we see in the new heavens and the new earth that God is preparing for all who love him. I hope that you have a wonderful Christmas, that God will bless you and your family in the new year that's ahead. We're going to stand and sing now our final carol for our carol service this year. And it's a song of invitation. But having heard all that we've heard about Jesus, who he is and what he has done, that we will come and that we will worship him. In the words of this very well-known carol, "O come all ye faithful." As we stand and as we sing this song, it invites us not just to be passive hearers, but to allow what we've heard to come and to change us, that we will come as the shepherds did, as the wise men did, and see Jesus for who he really is, to adore him as Christ the Lord. After we sing this, we're going to remain standing for a few moments. We're going to close in prayer and we'll give thanks for the refreshments. "O come all ye faithful."
Thank you.
you for this time we can spend thinking about the sending of your Son into the world. We thank you for these familiar carols that we've been able to sing and listen to the ladies' group, the readings from your word. Lord, as this year comes to a close, we thank you for the blessings you've blessed us with. Lord, we know that there are many who are listening, both in perhaps in the service and on the radio, who have had heartaches in this past year. We pray that you draw near to them and comfort them in a way that only you can. We pray that you'd bless us and strengthen us for the year ahead. We do not know what it holds, but we know that if you hold us, then we are safe and we are secure. We thank you for the refreshments that have been provided for us. We thank you for this time of year when we have so much to enjoy. And we take a moment to think of those who have perhaps so little in other lands. And we pray that we'd have hearts that would be overflowing with thankfulness to you, that would express itself in reaching out to help them. And now we ask that you, the God of all glory, would bless us. We thank you for the sending of your Son, for Jesus Christ our Saviour. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.